This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill from the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hidden Killers podcast.
I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for joining us. This is segment number 3 of day number 5 in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill, originally taking place on the 14th of April, 2023.
And he had told Lori that it did work. But then later on, we found out that Lori and Chad said that even though we had cast out that demon that was called Garrett, that another more powerful and more skillful demon had come in and taken his place instead.
And what was that spirit or demon's name?
I believe they called him Ned.
Okay. And so you learned that after the first casting on about Charles?
Correct.
Okay. So what did she tell you about a spirit named Ned?
That he was more skilled and that he was more powerful than the one before. That we needed to do another casting.
Okay. And then was that next casting on Charles to get rid of Ned? Where was that?
At my house.
Who was there for the casting on Charles this time?
This time was still Nicole and Serena, Melanie Gibb,
okay.
Alex was there also. He had been invited. At first, they had, Lori and Chad had said that Alex was a first creation or first time on the earth, which would mean that they were less spiritually experienced or savvy, and we couldn't talk much about certain things in front of him because he wouldn't understand it or he wouldn't know them. But by this meeting, they had changed their rating on him. And by this time, they said that Alex had been in prior creations and that he had been exalted in other creations. So he had already been proven, and that this was his first time on this earth, but he had been in other earths multiple times.
And so in that sort of status, did that now make him a powerful spiritual being?
Correct.
Did Alex believe that?
Most
definitely. The action calls for speculation.
If you know.
Yeah, with that just question, I'll sustain the objection.
Okay. Thank you. Do you know whether Alex expressed that he believed this?
Yes, he spoke about how he was very excited to find out who he was.
And so now that Alex is the strong spiritual being, did he participate in the casting involving Charles and the entity they labeled Ned?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us about that casting.
Again, everyone had different parts to do.
What was Alex's part, if you remember?
I believe that Alex was the warrior in that casting, so he would have done something. I don't exactly remember what he was.
Okay. But who assigned the roles in this casting on Charles of that night at your home?
Laurie.
Okay. Were you given information by Laurie that the casting to remove Ned worked or not?
Again, she got on the phone with Chad and asked if he had worked. She was very confident that this time was going to work because she had told us that we had to fast. She said that in the scriptures when the apostles could not cast out a demon or evil spirit, that in the scriptures he said that Jesus had told them that there are certain spirits that can only be cast out by prayer and fasting. So she had told us to fast. So we all fasted. And she told us that we couldn't eat until after we had done the casting. And so she was confident that it was going to work because of the pre-work that we had done. She told us again that he had worked.
Okay. Was Alex there when she told you it worked?
I believe so.
Okay. Now, if somebody is possessed by a demon, are those people dangerous?
They're considered to be dark and to bring only bad things to happen. Yeah. So, yes, would be dangerous.
And if you know, did Alex believe this?
Alex believed it more than anybody else there.
Did you have any follow-up conversations on whether or not the spirit Ned was successfully removed from Charles Vallow?
So then Laurie said that Ned had been removed, but this time there was even a more powerful demon that had come and possessed Charles and or Charles's body, and that this time it was someone who had been who had done this the same thing for hundreds of years and was very like an expert at doing that.
Do you remember the name? Was the name Hyplos or
Hyplos? Hyplos, I think it was.
Okay. So was there another casting for Charles to remove Hyplos?
Yes. At this time, Laurie had moved to Texas. So she had moved back with Charles, and she asked us to be on conference calls early in the morning, and again we would do casting on Charles to cast out Hyblos.
Okay. Who participate on the calls on the casting on Hyblos? Or Charles?
It was Christina, Nicole, Melanie, Gibb, Melanie Boudreaux, Laurie, and I.
Okay. Was Alex on these calls?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay. And did you try another casting on Charles?
There were several castings that we did on Charles during that time.
Okay. And did Alex participate in these casts, in any of these castings other than the ones? Let me ask you a better question. did Alex participate in the castings involving the spirit Hyblos in Charles?
Not that I can remember.
Okay. And did you learn at any point whether the casting to remove Hyblos worked?
No, Laurie said that this one was a very powerful demon, and that the reason why Charles had moved to Texas was because there were doctors there that helped these kind of people who possess other people's bodies to stay alive, and helps them to keep the body alive and going.
Okay. Did you, to your knowledge, was Alex aware of this issue with Charles being possessed by an exceptionally strong spirit?
Yes, he knew.
Okay. Did Laurie say why she was with stayed with Charles when he was possessed with a bad spirit?
She said she had, I asked her why she would move back to Texas with him after all the problems they had had, and she said that she needed to be with Charles in Texas for a little while to get her finances straight.
And to your knowledge, was Alex aware that Laura needed to get her finances straight?
I don't know.
Okay. During this effort to cast out Hyblos and deal with Charles, did there come a time that Charles passed away?
Yes.
Okay, do you know when that was?
It was July 11th of 2019.
Okay. I gotta ask, how do you remember that date?
Laurie always said that she had a connection with the 7-Eleven, the number 7-Eleven. She would mention that number all the time as if it was some kind of she had some kind of a spiritual connection with the number 7-Eleven. And when she told me what had happened, she said that it was 7-Eleven. Therefore, it had been all orchestrated by God. And she felt that because it was 7-Eleven and it was her numbers, that Charles or Hyblos had been delivered to them, to him, to her and Alex.
So when you say she told you about what happened, Are you saying she told you about what she said happened to Charles Vallow?
Correct.
What did she say happened to Charles Vallow on July 11th?
She said that Charles had rented a house in Gilbert. I think it's Chandler, but it was a house for her and the kids. They had moved into this house, and he had come from out of town to pick up JJ that morning to take him to school, I believe. And while he was putting JJ in the car, Lori took his phone, and he came back to get the phone, and she didn't want to give him the phone, so they started arguing about the phone, and Alex was there, and he got involved in the fight, and they started fighting. Alex said that he was trying to protect his sister, and then Tylee came into the middle of this fight with a baseball bat and telling Charles to leave, and that Charles had taken the bat away from Tylee, and Charles had hit Alex on the back of the head with the bat, and Charles and Alex wrestled around fighting, and at one point Alex got his gun and he shot Charles, and that's how he died.
Okay. So did she say what happened after that?
She said they had called the police, and the police had interrogated them, and they had deemed it to be in self-defense.
Did you talk to her after this, after she told you about what had happened to Charles, what she said had happened to Charles? Did she talk to you again about what was going to happen next?
Lori said that there were certain things that needed to happen before the second coming could happen, and there were certain things that she was instructed that she needed to do in order to usher the second coming, and one of them was that she needed to cleanse the earth from evil spirits. So every time that something would happen, will be something like another step ushering the second coming.
So was Charles's death, what she told you, part of the steps towards the second coming?
Yes.
Okay. And if you know, did Alex believe this?
I don't know.
Okay. Now, did at some point you have a conversation with her about her staying in Arizona or her moving?
She had, she had said that she, wanted to be in Arizona, but then Chad Daybell told her that she needed to move to Rexburg, and, so she packed up her house and moved to Rexburg.
What was significant about Rexburg, Idaho?
Chad had said that Rexburg, Idaho was going to be a place of refuge where there was going to be invasions of other countries coming into the United States, and that Rexburg was going to be a place where there would be soldiers and warriors that would be defending that area, and that area had been prepared by the church to accommodate people to come towards that area to be as a place of safety.
Okay. And so did Lori move to Rexburg?
Yes.
Ms. Smith, we're getting right to the lunch break. If there's a logical breaking point in your questions that you think would work in the next few minutes.
This is actually one of them. We're moving to Rexburg right now. So.
Okay. Let's go ahead and take our lunch recess then. We'll keep trying to shoot for this under an hour lunch with our schedules. So try to reconvene around 12:45 if possible.
Thank you.
All right, please.
All right, thank you, Mr. Bailiff. Please be seated. All right, we'll go back on the record on case CR 22-21-1624, State versus Lori Noreen Vallow. We just concluded the lunch break. The state's still continuing its case in chief, and you've got a witness, Ms. Pastenas, that's in direct examination. Is the state ready to proceed with continued direct?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. Is the defense ready to proceed as well?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. We'll go ahead and have the witness return to the witness stand. I'll just remind you, Ms. Pastenas, you are still under oath for your testimony today. And with that, Ms. Smith, you can continue your examination.
Thank you. All right. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Okay. Now, I think we were talking about the time in the summer of 2019 after Charles Vallow died that Lori Vallow moved to Rexburg.
Correct.
Okay. How did you learn that Lori Vallow was going to move to Rexburg?
Um, She told me that she was moving.
Okay. And I believe you've told us that she told you why. Do you remember talking about why she moved to Rexburg?
she said that that their part of her mission was for her to be there.
Okay. And so who moved to Rexburg with Lori Vallow?
Alex.
Okay. Where were Lori Vallow's children?
With her.
Okay. And Alex, did Alex and Lori end up living in the same apartment complex?
Yes.
Okay. Did you ever have a, do you know how Ms. Vallow was going to pay for things in Rexburg? How she was going to finance things?
When I asked her how she was going to finance, how she was going to live, since she didn't have a job, she told me that she was receiving Social Security from Ty Lee, from her dad passing away before the age of 18. JJ was receiving Social Security from his dad dying, and since she had been married for over 10 years to Charles, then she will also receive Social Security. And she said that it was close, something close to $6,000 a month, and she didn't need to work.
And so did she, in fact, move, and did Alex move to Rexburg?
Yes.
Okay. Did you go visit them in September of 2019?
I did.
Okay. Where did you go stay?
I stayed in Alex's apartment.
Okay. And was Alex living with Lori, or was Alex living on his own?
Alex had his own apartment.
Okay. So you stayed at Alex's apartment. Where did Lori stay?
Lori was in her apartment.
Okay. When you visited, did you see Ty Lee at all?
No.
Did you ask where Ty Lee was?
Yes.
And what did Lori tell you about where Ty Lee was?
She said she had to be free.
When she said she, who is she?
Ty Lee.
Okay. And who said this to you? Was that what Lori said, that Ty Lee had to be free?
Correct.
Okay. Did she say where she was staying, where Ty Lee was actually staying?
When I tried to ask her what she meant by that, she lifted her hand and put it up to my face and said, "Don't ask."
Now, when you were there, after she talked, did you ask about JJ as well, after she talked about Ty Lee like that?
JJ was there.
Okay. What was JJ doing?
He was playing outside with his neighbor friends.
All right. And, did Lori say anything about how JJ was handling being in Rexburg?
She said that he had had some toileting issues since they had moved.
Okay. Did she say anything that about JJ being attacked by demons?
She said that she had been... She started saying that before they moved to Rexburg.
Okay, so she had told you prior to the move to Rexburg that JJ too was being attacked by demons.
Correct.
Okay, what did she say about whether Ty Lee was being attacked by demons or evil spirits?
Right before she moved to Rexburg, she said that Ty Lee had been possessed by. Evil spirit or a demon, and she called it Hillary.
Okay. Do you remember how many times she's talked about Ty Lee being possessed by the spirit Hillary or the demon Hillary?
About 2-3 times.
Okay, more than once.
Correct.
Okay. What about JJ, but him being attacked by demons? You know, did she say this once or more than once?
More than once.
Okay. How many times?
It was a few times.
Okay. Do you know whether JJ ever had a comfort dog or a service dog?
Yes.
Okay, what was that service dog's name?
I believe it was Bailey, okay. Something like that.
Did she ever talk about any issues with Bailey?
Yes, she said that they were evil spirits attacking JJ, and they were going into the dog Bailey because it was easier to possess the dog.
Okay, and so did she give away or get rid of Bailey?
Yes, she did.
Was that before moving to Rexburg?
Yes.
After Charlestown?
Correct.
Okay. And then did she, and then once they were in Rexburg, did she repeat any concerns about Tylee being possessed by Hillary, the demon Hillary or the spirit Hillary?
No, Tylee was not there when I went there.
Okay. Did she say anything about JJ being attacked by demons when you were in Rexburg visiting?
Not that I recall.
Okay. What was JJ doing when you saw him in Rexburg?
He was playing outside with his toys and with his friends from the neighbors, the neighborhood kids, and then he came inside and asked for a popsicle, and then he went back outside, and then he came back inside to ask for a snack, and then he went back outside, and then I guess it was around, I don't know, 7 o'clock, and Laurie brought him inside and started getting him ready for bed.
Okay. And while you were there, was Melanie Gibb there?
No.
Okay. And did Laurie say anything about how it was caring for JJ now that Charles was gone?
She said she had hired, I don't know whether it was a babysitter or a nanny that was helping her take care of him when she needed. And she also said that she had bought a subscription to one of those bounce places so that he could she could take him there to, be entertained.
Okay. So did she, and then how did you see Chad at all while you were in Rexburg?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us about that. How did that happen? Let's start that way. How was it you were able to see Chad? Because at this time, Chad's wife, Tammy, was still alive, correct?
Correct.
And he was still living with Tammy, correct, even though Lori's now in Rexburg, right?
He asked me to lie for him and to send a text to him saying that I was speaking at a conference or at a presentation, and that I wanted him to come and see me speak.
Okay. And did you send that text?
I did.
Why did he have you do that? And you said lie for him. Why did he ask you to do that?
So that he could have an excuse to his wife to come over.
To Lori's?
Correct, to come over to Lori's apartment.
Okay, and did you do that?
Yes.
Okay, did Chad come over?
Yes.
Okay, did you talk to Chad at all during this time?
We did.
Mm-hmm. Okay, was Lori there as well?
Yes.
Tell us about that conversation with Lori and Chad.
Lori and Chad were very aggressively trying to convince me to move to Rexburg. And we talked a lot about him saying that I needed to move to Rexburg.
Why did they want you to move to Rexburg?
They kept telling me that part of my mission was to be there and that I needed to help them build Zion there and that I just needed to move there.
Okay. Now, do you have a job?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have family in Arizona?
Yes.
Okay. What did Lori say about, how you would, if you gave up and quit your job, how are you supposed to support yourself?
I said that if I was to move to Rexburg, there is no jobs there for me, for my experience or my past jobs or anything that would match me, and what would I do there for finances. And she said, don't worry about it. Melanie Pulaski / Boudreaux, she has enough for all of us.
Okay. Now, so at this time it was Melanie Boudreaux, that was her name, right?
At the time, correct, yes.
Okay. And so Melanie Boudreaux was her niece?
Yes.
And Melanie Boudreaux was in the process of divorcing her husband, Brandon?
Correct.
And she received a fairly substantial divorce settlement?
Correct.
Several hundred thousand dollars?
Yes.
Okay. And so what did Lori tell you about Melanie supporting people? What exactly? I want to make sure we get the words right. What did she say?
She said, don't worry about it because Melanie has enough for all of us.
Okay. What did you say to that?
I said, that's her money, not my money.
Okay. And did Lori have a response?
No.
Okay.
Not really.
All right. Did you ever talk to Melanie Boudreaux about the idea that her money was going to support all of you?
I told her about what Lori said after Alex had died, and she said that she was very sad that other people would be saying that about her and her money.
Okay. So while you're there and they're trying to convince you to move, did Chad or Lori talk to you about anything else? Did Chad give you another blessing?
Yep, he did.
What was that blessing?
In this blessing, he said that the Savior was standing right next to him, and that he was giving him the words to say to me, and that the Savior was telling me that it was time to leave Babylon and to move to Rexburg. He also added that the Savior was telling me that all my sins were forgiven.
Now, who was here when you were getting that blessing?
Lori, Chad, Alex and I.
Okay. Now, it's my understanding from what you say, a blessing is from somebody in a priesthood or almost anybody can give you a blessing, but it's personal to you, right?
It has to be a priesthood holder if they are going to be using the priesthood power, and it is specifically for you.
Okay. Yes. So why was Alex there?
Alex also received a blessing that day.
Okay, in front of you?
Yes.
What was Alex's blessing from Lori and Chad?
In this blessing, Chad told him that the Savior was standing right next to him, and that he was giving him the words to tell him as well, and he told him that all his sins were forgiven.
What was Alex's reaction when Chad and Lori told him all his sins were forgiven?
He started sobbing.
During this blessing for you and then blessing for Alex, did the concept of marriage ever come up?
Chad had given me a blessing in August of 2019 in Lori's house, and at that time, he had also told me that I was going to be moving to Rexburg and that I was going to be getting married.
Okay.
And in this blessing, he in Rexburg in September, he also referred to that.
So he'd given you a couple of blessings each time mentioning the idea that you're going to be getting married.
Correct.
Okay. And any of these times did he and Lori talk to you about who you should marry?
No.
Okay. did the subject eventually come up about who you should marry or who they would like you to marry?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Lori and Chad were teaching that a man and a woman should always be together because they're stronger as an entity than as two separate people. If they are together, then they can have the priesthood together and they can be stronger and be more effective in whatever it is that they are going to do. So she, once Alex and I started dating, then they started saying that we should be married.
Okay. Now, at the visit at Lori's house in Rexburg in September, when Tylee wasn't there, but JJ was, were you dating Alex at that point?
We had gone in one day before he moved to Rexburg. We went out to dinner, and on this trip that I went there, we just were getting to know each other, just talking a lot, and he was really funny, so we had a lot of fun watching movies and talking and just getting to know each other.
So after your trip in September, how long did you stay in September?
I believe it was only like 2 to 3 days or something like that. It was a very short trip.
Okay. Do you remember if JJ was going to school on those days, or do you think it was a weekend?
I believe it was part of the weekend and then part of the day.
Okay. And were Melanie Gibb or her boyfriend, David Warwick, there at all?
No.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that you guys were getting to know each other. Did there come a point where your relationship with Alex actually became dating or kind of took off?
Yeah, Alex came to Arizona on October 31st. It was Halloween, and he came over. Lori had asked that Alex and Melanie Boudreaux would stay in my house.
This is down in Arizona?
In Arizona, uh-huh. And when they came down, Alex and Melanie came over to my house, and I gave Melanie my bedroom, and Alex and I stayed up talking most of the night, and that was the first time that we held hands or the first time we kissed.
And was that Halloween?
Yes.
Okay. And so after Halloween of 2019, did there come a point where you actually got engaged?
Yes.
What day did you guys get engaged?
It was on my next trip to Rexburg in November.
November 7th?
Correct.
Okay. So you go back up to Rexburg November 7th, and when you're up in Rexburg, Alex gives you an engagement ring?
Yes.
And you agree to marry him?
Yes.
Okay. When you're back up in Rexburg November 7th of 2019, did you see JJ?
JJ was not there. Lori was not there. Chad was not there.
What about Tylee?
No.
Okay. Now, you guys got engaged. Do you know where Chad and Lori were at the time?
We didn't know where they were at. I didn't know where they were at. But later, while I was there during that trip, we received pictures of them getting married in Hawaii.
Okay. Was there any communication once you got the pictures of them getting married in Hawaii?
I believe so.
Okay, what was that?
I don't remember exactly what the communication was.
So did you and Alex stay in Rexburg, or did you head back to Arizona? After you got engaged?
I came back to Arizona. Alex stayed over there. And I invited him to come down to spend Thanksgiving with me and my family.
And did he do that?
Yes.
Okay. Did you have any communication with Chad or Lori on Thanksgiving?
No.
Okay. To your knowledge, did Alex?
No.
Okay. Do you know if Alex was having regular communication with Chad and Lori, sort of from the time you got engaged until around Thanksgiving?
I know they were having a lot of communication all the time, daily and on a daily basis, several times a day, perhaps. when he left Rexburg to come down to Arizona, he told me that they had stopped communicating with him. And even though he was trying to call them and sending them text, they weren't answering him.
And what was his reaction to sort of going from lots of communication to no communication?
He was upset. Okay. He said something like, can you believe they're being such jerks after how much I have helped them? Now they don't even want to talk to me.
Okay. Now, let me step back and say, do you remember when hearing that Tammy Daybell had been shot?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember what day she was shot?
Yes.
What day was she shot?
If my memory serves me right, it was October 9th.
Okay. And were you having, do you believe she was shot that day or shot at that day?
Shot at.
Okay. How did you find out about that?
I don't remember.
Okay. Do you remember hearing about Tammy actually dying and being killed? Or shot, I'm sorry, I apologize. Do you remember hearing about Tammy dying?
Yes.
Okay. How did you hear about that?
Melanie Gibb called me to tell me that Tammy had died the night before.
What was your reaction?
A little bit of confusion. I didn't know how she had died. I didn't know what to think.
Okay. But prior to do that, you had learned that she had been shot at by someone.
Yes.
Okay. Were you ever present with Lori around that time that Tammy was shot at?
Yes, the same night.
Okay. What were you guys doing that night that you learned Tammy had been shot at?
Lori had come down to, to Arizona, and she had texted me earlier during the day and asked me to come to Melanie Boudreaux's house because she needed my help with something and she needed to see me.
Okay. And did you go?
Yes.
All right. What happened when you got to Melanie Boudreaux's house in Arizona?
Lori told me that Tammy had been possessed by a demon and that it was no longer her, kind of like the same thing that she had said about Charles, and that she needed my help casting out from her.
Okay. And what did you guys do a casting on Tammy?
Yes.
Okay. What was that demon's name, if you remember?
I don't remember.
Okay. His name Viola sound right?
Yes, that sounds right.
All right. And so while you're doing the casting on Tammy, trying to get Viola out, who was there?
Melanie Boudreaux was there. Her children were all asleep. And while Lori and I were doing the casting, Melanie got a phone call, and she was on a phone call while we were doing the casting.
Okay. How did the casting on Tammy end?
Lori said that she had received some new information on how to do a casting, that it could work, and we were going to be using the Cosmos and can't remember exactly what other things, but no, we were going to be using this. And then afterwards, she gave me tons of praise for how awesome I was and how great I was. And then afterwards, she received a phone call from someone.
Okay. And was she near you when she got that phone call?
Yes.
Okay. What was her attitude and demeanor when she got that phone call?
She was very, very angry, scary angry.
Okay. And now this is the night that Tammy was shot at.
Correct.
Okay. So while she's on the phone, she appears angry and scary angry. Did you hear anything she said?
Yeah, she was using some very derogatory terms such as idiot, moron, and just being very, very angry with whoever she was on the phone with.
After she got off the phone, what did she say to you?
She said, idiot can't do anything right by himself.
All right. Now, eventually you heard that Tammy had actually died, right?
Correct.
And you told us that Melanie Gibbett called you, correct?
Correct.
All right. Let's move on and ask, after you learned that Tammy was died, did you talk to Lori about that situation with her and Chad? Now that Tammy's gone, what did Lori say was going to happen?
Well, she said that Chad and her had received instructions and visitations from angels that had come and taught them how to cast out demons, and now they knew how to do it. And that is the reason why Tammy had passed away, because they were able to finally learn how to do casting of a demon.
What did she say about her and Chad's future together?
Well, at first, she said that Chad and her were saying that they were going to be in Rexburg, and that's where they were going to be building Zion, and that this was going to be a place of refuge. And then all of a sudden, they said that they were going to be going somewhere else.
Did she say in the few days after Tammy died, did she say where Chad was going to be living?
Yes, she said that the day after the funeral, Chad was going to be moving into her apartment.
What was your reaction, and did you say anything?
I did. I said, isn't that a little too fast when there should be some time for grieving?
And what did she say?
Nothing.
Okay. So you mentioned that she and Chad had been talking about everybody kind of creating Zion in Rexburg. Did they tell you, you know, that things changed or that they were leaving and going somewhere else?
They didn't say anything. They just left.
Okay. And then you learned they got married in Hawaii.
Correct.
Okay. Did there come a point where they came back in from Hawaii and visited you in Phoenix?
Yes, on their way back from Hawaii, they had a layover in Phoenix, and they were staying at a hotel in Gilbert, close to my house, and they asked me to come and see them at their hotel, and they asked me to go have dinner with them and then drop them off at the airport.
Okay. And did you do that?
Yes.
Okay. During that dinner, did you ask about either Tylee or JJ?
I asked where was JJ and who was taking care of him if they were in Hawaii.
And what did they tell you?
She told me that JJ was with Kay and that she had given him to her.
Okay. Now, did there come a point, and I don't think I've asked you this, so I apologize. What day did you marry Alex Cox?
December 1st.
Okay. And did there come a point before you married Alex Cox that you got a call from Melanie Gibb? Or was it after you married Alex that you got a call from Melanie Gibb about Chad and Lori's teachings?
After.
Okay. And so for context, what did Melanie Gibb say to you?
She was very upset. She said she felt that she was very emotional. She was very upset. She said that she felt that JJ and Tylee were missing, and she didn't know what had happened to them, and she felt that we had been deceived by Chad and Lori, and that they were asking her to lie for them, and she felt that they were doing something wrong, and
So what was your reaction to that conversation?
Utter confusion. I was confused. I didn't know what to think or how to process that information. To hear my friend saying that all of this was happening, and then at the same time knowing how much trust I had put into these two people. It was very, very confusing, and I was very distraught and confused.
And did you turn to Alex, who you were married to at this time, and ask him about it?
I did.
What did he say?
He was very quiet, not himself, not his usual self. I asked him, how can Kay be looking for JJ when JJ is supposed to be with her? How can the person that's taking care of him be looking for him? And
what did he say to you?
He said, I know. And
did you ask him more about it?
He just didn't answer me. I'm sorry. I'm just being distracted.
That's okay. You okay?
I was just distracted by what's happening in the end at the back of the room.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. It happens. Okay. So you were talking to Alex about the call you'd gotten from Melanie Gibb,
mm-hmm.
right? Did he say anything about Tylee missing? Did you ask him about that?
No.
At some point, did you learn that the police were looking for JJ, Tylee, Lori, and Chad?
Not until after Alex had died.
Okay. So let's do this. So what day did Alex pass away?
December 12th.
Had you received information about anything going on in Rexburg or actually in Utah the day before Alex passed away?
I had a very long day at work, and I came home probably around 7:30 p.m. And when I came into my bedroom, Alex was on the phone with Chad and Lori, and they were telling him that Tammy's body was being exhumed on that day. That was December 11th.
Okay. And were you present in the room with him while he was on the phone with Chad and Lori?
Yes.
Okay. Could you, did you ask him about that conversation?
After they were done talking, after they hung up, yeah.
Okay. What did she ask him about?
I was very confused about the reason why they would be exhuming Tammy's body. And I was asking him, why would they be exhuming her body if she had died of natural causes? Or and I asked him if he was involved in anything that to do with Tammy's death.
Okay. And then what did he say?
He said no.
Okay. Did you ask him anything else?
Yes, I kept pressuring him.
And then what?
Things were very, very weird at this time. They just seemed that there was so much going on and so, just so weird and so bizarre. And I started pressuring him for information. So I told him, I said, you know, what is going on? What is happening? How come they are not here? You don't even know where they're at. We don't even know where they're at now.
When you say they, who are you talking about?
Lori and Chad. We don't know where Lori and Chad are at. What is happening?
And what reaction did he have? Ultimately, what did he say?
He was very quiet and unresponsive. And then he said, I think I'm being their fall guy. Okay. Meaning.
Okay. And what did you say?
I said, a fall guy for what? What is it that you have done? What have you done that you would be the fall guy for? So I kept pressuring him, and I was so frustrated because he wasn't answering me. So I would walk away, and he would say something, and then I would come back, and then I would pressure him again, and then he said, one of the times when I was walking away from him, he said, Sulema, either I am a man of God or I am not.
Okay. And then Alex passed away the next day?
He passed away the next day.
Okay. Now, I have some I have some additional questions, but let's talk a little bit. You had mentioned earlier about a journal, correct? And some drawings that you had from Lori or that you gave to law enforcement?
Yes, correct. I keep a journal all the time.
Okay. Your Honor, may the witness be handed State's Exhibit 54?
Yes.
Okay. Now, defense counsel has a copy of all of this, but I'm not sure he's seen the envelope. Oh, actually, he did see the envelope. But
I like to see it right now.
Smith, I don't know if I have a court copy.
No, it's the actual exhibit, Judge. Oh. But we can, if the court wants copies of the physical exhibits, we can certainly do that.
No, I'll take if it's documents, I prefer that, but I'll take a look at it first before it's handed to the witness, please.
Yes, sir. And for the future reference, if it's a document that's in evidence, you want a copy?
I would appreciate that, yes.
Sure, we're happy to do that.
There's one more segment to go through. That will conclude the week's testimony in the trial of Lori Vallow-Daybell. Stay with us and press subscribe so you don't miss any of it. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow-Daybell from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast.